We have finally come to the end of the book of Galatians. This is the 19th week that we've been looking at this letter of Paul to the churches in Galatia. Now, I'm going to give you a little advance notice of something. At the end of this message today, I'm going to ask for some of you to respond to share something significant that has stood out to you from this book as we have gone through it. But first we're going to look at the last few verses of Galatians 6. This section is a very personal note from Paul. You see, Paul typically would dictate his letters to a scribe who would write it down and it would be sent off to the intended recipients in the various cities and churches. But often at the end of a letter, he would write a little greeting himself in his own handwriting. And that seems to be what he was doing here. He adds a personal note written in his own hand, a kind of a personal greeting to the churches in Galatia. And he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Now that's an interesting note. With what large letters I am writing. And the only thing that I can think of is that it may be connected to what he seemed to mention earlier. Back in chapter 4, he made mention of his bodily ailments, and he suggested that the Galatians, if they were able to, would have willingly gouged out their eyes to give to him. It appears that he had some kind of whether an infection or a disease or an injury to his eyes, that he had some kind of a complication with his eyes, that he couldn't see very well. And so he wrote with very large letters. But it's just an interesting note that he says, but he indicates that he is writing with his own hand here, these last few words to the Galatians. And in this final closing note, Paul makes a number of statements which really summarize. They're a summary of the arguments that he has made through the whole book, throughout his letter. He addresses the error of the Judaizers and he reminds his readers of his love and his concern for them. So let's take a quick look at what he says, and then I'm going to open it up for you to share a few thoughts, if you have anything, regarding the things you have learned from this letter. We begin with the motives of the Judaizers in verse 12. Now, it's always a dangerous thing to try to evaluate or to try to judge the motives and intentions of others, because we can't see into people's hearts. But this is what Paul does in this verse. He says in verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing or who want to make an impression outwardly, who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul's analysis of the motives of the Judaizers leads him to a couple of important conclusions, and both of them have to do with a very self-serving type of attitude. First, he says, what they really want is to look good. To look good in the flesh, to make a good impression outwardly. They're not concerned, he says, they're not concerned about you. They're concerned about themselves. They're out to make themselves look good. They want to be able to say they got another convert. Paul says to these believers in Galatia that you are nothing more than another notch on their belt. And we talked about that. He has brought that up earlier in this letter. They want you to be circumcised so that it looks good on their record. But secondly, he says they are concerned about saving their own skin. They're only doing this because they don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. You see, the Jewish establishment was not at all happy about the shift that was taking place religiously. The converts to this new religious sect, who were known as Christians, were persecuted and harassed and even tortured for leaving the faith, leaving the Judaistic or Judaic religion. Paul himself was one of those who had in previous years wreaked havoc among the Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. And it was when he was on his way to Damascus, going there to seek out converts, to seek out followers of this new way, in order to incarcerate them, that he met Jesus Christ, that he met God. The Lord met him on the road in a brilliant light and spoke to him, and he was saved, he was converted, he was changed, and he became a missionary. But these Judaizers who were bothering the churches in Galatia, who were insisting that the new Gentiles in Galatia be circumcised, they were Jewish leaders who wanted to identify with Jesus Christ. They wanted to accept the Messiah, Jesus as Messiah. They wanted to be Christians, and yet they wanted to appease the Jewish establishment. The Pharisees, the council of the Sanhedrin, they wanted to fit in by showing that they were not breaking away from the law. They were not abandoning the Judaistic expectations, the Old Testament requirements of circumcision and the special days and the other expectations of the law. And so Paul says they want to look good in the eyes of the council. They want to look good to the Jewish establishment. They're only concerned about avoiding persecution. They want to claim the cross of Christ, and yet at the same time they want to keep their other foot in the Old Testament system of law. That's their motives. But there's a problem, and it becomes clear in the following verse. And we see in verse 13 the failure of the Judaizers. There Paul says, For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. These Judaizers, who were themselves Jews, they could not keep the law of God. And again, we've seen this. These are all kind of summary statements. They couldn't keep the law. They grew up with the law. They studied the law. They knew the law. They'd been circumcised according to the law as a sign of their covenant relationship with God, but they could never keep the law. And yet, in spite of that, they were insisting that these Gentile believers submit to the law by being circumcised. They wanted to bring these new Gentile believers under the law of God. Gentile believers who were ignorant of the law, they had never even known the law. They came out of pagan practices and had turned to God in faith, and yet these Judaizers wanted to impose the law on them and make their salvation subject to the requirement of keeping the law, even though they were unable to keep the law themselves. What a contradiction that is. What hypocrisy. Paul is, in a sense, saying to them, to the Judaizers, if your life lived under the law could never measure up, then why would you try to impose that law on someone who had never even known the law or ever tried to live by the law? It was a classic case of saying, don't do what I do what I say. Because they couldn't do it themselves. And Paul again points out that the only reason they do this is so they can boast about the number of converts they have to Judaism, how many converts they've made. He says, so that they may boast in your flesh. He says, you're just another number in their statistics. They're after you because it looks good on their monthly report. I put that in because I have to make monthly reports to Village Missions about how many people attend church and so on and so forth. But it's not about numbers. It's just, I mean, you keep that kind of information. But he says, they're after you because it looks good, so they can boast about you in the flesh. By contrast to that, Paul in verse 14 gives us a bit of his personal testimony. We have in verse 14 Paul's personal testimony. Paul is very clear that his thoughts are very different from the Judaizers. His purpose is not to boast about the Galatian believers as though they were some kind of trophy, some kind of conquest. Listen to what he says in verse 14, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Paul's claim is this: my only boast, the only thing that I can boast about, is what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done on the cross at Calvary. He died there to secure our forgiveness. He rose again to give us eternal life. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing we can boast about. It's the cross of Christ. And not only that, but Paul says the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the source of my death. Death to the world. Death to sin. He says, he speaks of the cross by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Remember his words back in chapter 2 and verse 20? It's one of the key verses in living the Christian life where he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's a key verse. The crucified life. By the way, you may have noticed that that verse was quoted in the King James Version. That's the way I learned it, probably 40 or more years ago. I am crucified with Christ. The Christian is one who has died to the world, died to sin, died to self. The life we live is a crucified life. It's not our life, it's Christ's life, lived in and through us, dead to the world, but alive to God. And that's Paul's testimony. By contrast to those who would boast in numbers and converts and so on, he says, my only boast is in the cross of Christ. In verse 15, we have Paul's summary statement. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. There, in a few words, you have Paul's summary of the whole truth that he has been proclaiming over the six chapters of this letter. The issue, he says, is not whether or not you have been circumcised. That doesn't matter. That isn't the point. The issue is whether or not you have been born again, whether you've been changed, whether you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That is what matters, being a new creature, having the life of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. And that is the theme of this entire epistle. Submitting to circumcision, as it was required by the Judaizers, was to place oneself under the law and become accountable for the entire law, and that could only bring condemnation. We saw that earlier. But what Paul wanted for his children in the Lord was not condemnation, was not bondage to the law, but freedom in Jesus Christ, that they might be a new creation in Christ. Well, we're just about done. A couple more verses. In verse 16, we have Paul's invocation of blessing. He says, "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the God of Israel." All who walk by this rule. What rule? The rule of new life in Christ. The truth that salvation and the Christian life are based on a new life, produced by a new birth, not on some outward ritual like circumcision or anything else. For such people, Paul says, people who truly know God, who have that new life in Jesus Christ, who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul's desire is that they would know the peace of God and the mercy of God in their daily walk with God. And then he adds, and upon the Israel of God. Now that's a confusing little statement. And I don't have all the answers as to what exactly he means. But John Calvin says of this, and this is from many, many years ago, centuries ago. Calvin says, this is an indirect ridicule of the vain boasting of the false prophets, who boasted of being the descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. There are two classes who bear this name. A pretended Israel, which appears to be so in the sight of men, and the Israel of God. Circumcision was a disguise before men, but regeneration is a truth before God. There is a way in which Paul refers to believers as the sons of Abraham. He did that earlier in this letter, and this seems to be another mention of that. Now, we know that as believers, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have not replaced Israel. Israel is the chosen people of God. God is not done with Israel as a nation. But there is some way in which he seems to be referring to those who truly know God in this sense. And for those who do, he says, peace and mercy be upon them. That's his benediction. Verse 17 is one final defense that Paul gives. We have Paul's final defense there against those who would criticize or condemn him and his ministry, who would condemn him as a heretic for teaching salvation by faith alone. He spent the first two chapters of this letter explaining and defending the authority of his apostleship and the authenticity of his gospel message. And we looked at that in detail. But here he has one final word for his detractors. He says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul had a very simple but powerful message for those who would question his right to speak as an apostle, to speak for God. He knew that his life was surrendered to Jesus Christ. He knew that he was totally committed to the ministry of the gospel message. And he says, I have the marks to prove it. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, in Paul's day, it was not unusual for a slave, one who was a bond servant, one who was bound to a master, to be branded, to be marked with a mark that was either cut or burned into the body of the slave. And it clearly identified the one to whom they belonged. And Paul said, my ownership is clear. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. What were those marks? I believe they were the scars that he had received because of his faith and his proclamation of the gospel. He had been beaten with rods. He had been lashed with whips. He had been stoned and left for dead in Lystra. Maybe that's what caused his eye problems. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he was missing an eye. That would have been quite a mark. But he says, my scars are my brand. They are the indicators that I belong to Jesus and I am faithful to him. We end with a benediction. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. There you have the book of Galatians. It's taken us a long time to get through it. But it's a powerful reminder of the simple and yet very profound gospel message. There is salvation in no other name than that of Jesus Christ. There is salvation no other way than through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. It is by grace alone, through repentance and faith alone. It is not faith plus circumcision. It's not faith plus baptism. It's not faith plus church attendance that saves us. It is faith in Jesus Christ. The message of Galatians is that we cannot attain God's favor by the law or by good deeds, but we must come to him in repentance and in faith, and then we need to live our lives by faith. We are not saved by faith and then we carry on and do it ourselves from there. We live by faith. It is His life in us. The life which I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.